Messiah's Branch broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is January 11th, 2018. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, I had a phone call from Italy the other day and talking about from a man that lives there talking about the Islamic invasion over there. And so I encourage you folks from all countries, if you need me, call me. We'll talk about it. We'll put you on radio if it's important. This will be a coming program. Anyway, you can find the updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations. So pray about sporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Rome, Italy, Istanbul, Turkey, Taiwan, Auckland, New Zealand, Poland, and of course cities in the good old United States such as Kansas City, Missouri, Houston, Texas, Indianapolis, Indiana, New York, New York, Omaha, Nebraska. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs. That is, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now, I'm glad to be back with you tonight after being off the air for a couple of weeks due to a couple of things, like an office breakdown, no heater. And also, I'm still recovering from the flu. And so just bear with me a little bit, folks, if my voice gets scratchy, as I pray our very great guest does tonight. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to tell the world and warn the world of the things that are coming and to enlighten the world to your Son's return. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest was on with us back in June of 2017. He was with us last year to talk about a really great book, and I pray you've got it. If you haven't, you need to get it. It's called The Great Inception. That book will have you rereading the Bible with a fresh pair of eyes, and just like I and an elder at church are going back over and looking up a lot of things. The book we're about to talk about tonight, though, is called The Day the Earth Stands Still: Unmasking the Old Gods Behind ETs, UFOs, and the Official Disclosure Movement. So we're not talking about a Hollywood fantasy, and the name makes you think of that. You know, in fact, one of my favorite old Hollywood movies, not the newer remake, but the old one, but aliens and UFOs, are they real? What are they really? Better yet, are the higher-ups in government and private life interested in these things? And if so, why are they acting like it's nothing? Anyway, you should need to be informed, and you need to be informed, and this book will do just that, and leaving you craving for much more, as it did with me. Tonight, we must not also forget the co-author, Josh Peck, who wrote a book called Abaddon, Ascending and Unraveling the Multi-Universe. But now, let's bring on Derek Gilbert. Welcome, Derek. Are you there with me?
Pastor Dan, it's an honor to be back with you. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm so glad to have you back on. And, you know, I got off to a slow start on this book because I had so many things hitting me. But once I started getting into it, it was another one of those just do not put me down books. Amen.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just go right into this. Now, everybody, you know, we talk about aliens and UFOs, and I've always been side interested in them, so to speak, but I always believed that they were demonic in nature, you know, from that movement. But so many people believe in the visitations and everything. But right now, we're hearing something called the official disclosure movement. What is that? And then, secondly, what's it about?
Well, it's something that comes up, it seems, every 4 years, whenever there's a change in the, especially when there's a change in the presidential administration. We heard about it at the end of the Clinton administration. We heard about it again at the end of the Bush administration, the Obama administration. You know, maybe the outgoing president will finally open the books and tell the world what the United States government knows about aliens and UFOs and everything. That is what official disclosure is. Official acknowledgement by the governments of the world, and especially the government of the United States, of the existence of so-called aliens, extraterrestrials, and you know, what UFOs really are. In the book, we address this for a couple of reasons, and I'll get to the really important reason here in a moment. But what really got our interest, Josh and myself, was the release of the emails by WikiLeaks last year during the presidential campaign. The email of Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, who was an official in the Bill Clinton White House. He was an official in the Obama administration, very well connected at high levels of the Washington power elite, especially inside the Democratic Party. He had been contacted by a couple of people who were very interested in the UFO phenomenon and were trying to make connections with President Obama for the purpose of discussing UFOs. One of those was a gentleman named Tom DeLonge, who was the front man for a band very popular in the 90s called the Blink 182. He has now gone on to front a new for-profit company called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, and maybe we can talk about them later in this hour. The other gentleman, whom your listeners would be familiar with, is the late astronaut Edgar Mitchell. Dr. Edgar Mitchell was a true believer in the existence of extraterrestrials, the existence of what he called the contiguous universe. And that's an important term because it indicates a change, I think, in the way UFO true believers are viewing the phenomenon. Dr. Mitchell had contacted Podesta a number of times via email suggesting that Podesta should set up a meeting with the president, and there's no record that Podesta replied or did reach out to President Obama about setting up a meeting with Dr. Mitchell. But in the words of Dr. Mitchell, the aliens, the friendly extraterrestrials, want to share technology with us, such as zero-point energy and other things, but they want to make sure we're going to be peaceful. And there were some other connections there that associates of Dr. Mitchell tried to make with John Podesta. Again, we don't know that anything ever came of any of those contacts, but the point is high-ranking members of the American government were contacted by the sixth man on the moon who believed that extraterrestrials are real, that they want to help mankind transcend and evolve to the next level of our development, and that there are other people inside the government who were taking this seriously enough for Dr. Mitchell to feel that he had a chance at actually setting up a meeting with the president.
Right. That was one of the – all of the book was fascinating. But the reading those various emails was real fascinating because, you know, while nothing – you know, like I said, we didn't see anything released or anything – but the attention that, you know, John Podesta was answering them, you know what I'm saying? And he was it showed that he had an interest. Now, so, you know, he's of course, he's a very high level person. So that goes back to a question that that's on a lot of our minds. You know, the general public, we kind of look at the government and so on, and maybe, you know, people, you know, higher up people, so to speak, as not really having that big interest, but it looks like they really do. Back to you.
Yeah, and the timing of the release of our book was interesting in that we couldn't have planned it any better if we had tried, because the first Saturday in December, which was just over a week after our book was officially released, the New York Times broke a story about U.S. Navy pilots who had encountered something that they couldn't identify, and they released video along with this story. Taken from the gun cameras of the F-18 that was chasing this mysterious object out over the Pacific Ocean. This is back in 2004, the encounter between the F-18s and this object. So for the New York Times to run this story and feature it, and then to have the story picked up by the Washington Post, CNN, Fox News, other mainstream news outlets, and at the same time disclose the existence of a previously unknown program inside the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, to investigate UFO reports between 2007 and 2012 was really remarkable. And this, again, following on the election campaign and the release of the WikiLeaks documents or emails back in 2016, is as close as we've come to so-called official disclosure in the history of the modern
right.
UFO phenomenon. So,
right. I saw that. And, you know, I'm really amazed by it. Not as much as you know, is by who released it. You know what I'm saying? The Air Force, because I didn't even think they were, from everything that I've gathered, that I didn't even believe that the military or, you know, were allowed to speak about those things. And secondly, you know, you even hear airplane pilots in their testimony talk about how, you know, that's all tamped down. They don't want them to bring them. And then, boom, this comes out. It leaves us going, well, wow, are we going to hear some more? What do you think?
Well, we dug into this, Josh and I. And first of all, we need to understand that this was not an official United States government release. The Department of Defense, this program was funded at the request of U.S. Senator Harry Reid. He's retired now, but at the time he was the Senate Minority Leader, powerful senator from Nevada, which of course is where Area 51 is located. He managed to get $22 million stuck into the Defense Authorization Bill to finance this program. Most of it, according to the New York Times report, went to Bigelow Aerospace. Bigelow Aerospace is run by Robert Bigelow. He's an entrepreneur, runs the budget suites chain of hotels around the country. He's also got an aerospace company, long interest in the UFO phenomenon. He owns Skinwalker Ranch in Nevada. And apparently he's a friend and supporter of Harry Reid. So this is Harry Reid funneling money, apparently, to a buddy of his to do something that, according to the New York Times, the Pentagon didn't want to do. The military did not want to do this, but the Congress said, we're going to give you the money, you're going to do it. Well, the gentleman who actually released the information to the New York Times, a fellow named Luis Elizondo, was the Defense Intelligence Agency professional. He's in a professional intelligence operative who ran the program, retired from the Department of Defense back in the summer of 2017, and 2 months later, not long before releasing this information to the New York Times, joined this company I had mentioned earlier, To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. So now Mr. Elizondo is part, I guess his title is Chief of Global Security for this company, whose mission is to produce content, both educational and entertainment content, to promote the idea that extraterrestrials are real, they're here to help us, and they're actually out there soliciting, asking for investors to invest in their company. So you have to ask the question now, since the government didn't want to run this program, they didn't release the information, this former government employee who's now working for a company that wants to promote the idea, release the information, is this just a clever marketing gimmick to get investors to put money into their company?
So what did you come up with a conclusion?
well, you
have me on the edge of my seat, really, bro.
We're a bit skeptical of the of the timing of this release. Now, and especially when you look at the other members of the board of directors of To the Stars Academy, many of them are coming out of the intelligence community. You've got Dr. Hal Puthoff, who is in charge of investigating remote viewing for the Stanford Research Institute back in the 70s and 80s. He and another a colleague at the SRI investigated the Israeli parapsychologist Uri Geller, you know, the guy who would bend spoons with his mind and so
oh,
forth.
Right.
On behalf of the government, they wanted to find out, is there a way we can weaponize these sorts of abilities? And but again, you know, they did a lot of work for the Central Intelligence Agency and the say military industrial complex back
right.
in the 70s and 80s. You've got another gentleman who recently retired from the CIA. You've got the former advanced systems director for Lockheed Martin's Skunk Works. That's where they developed the super secret aircraft that are tested at Area 51 in Nevada. So, again, the question is, I think, this. Are these gentlemen, did they come together to form a company to use their expertise in this field to make a living? I mean, I can't fault them for that. Or is this the intelligence community, which and we document in the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, that the intelligence community and the Department of Defense were involved in shaping how the public perceived the UFO phenomenon right from the very start of the modern phenomenon in 1947. The Department of Defense was involved. The intelligence community was involved. Is this just the intelligence community continuing to shape how the public, what the public thinks about UFOs in a new way?
I have a thought on this. You're saying that people from the intelligence community and others that have worked in this are now in the company and shaping. Well, let me go with this. You say retired. A couple of years ago, Derek, I had a fellow on here. He was starting a news service, and his bio said he was, you know, ex-CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I got him on the air and I talked for a couple of minutes and I just couldn't take it. I had to ask him the question that everybody is always on people's mind if you're talking to somebody that's CIA was, listen, brother, I said, boy, you know, I have to ask the question. I've always heard that once CIA, always CIA. And he laughed. And I said, so can we have an answer or we can move on? And he said, no. I'll answer that. He said, absolutely. Once CIA, always CIA. He said, especially in my case, he said, because my wife is CIA, my daddy-in-law is a CIA, and his wife is CIA. And so once CIA, he says, always CIA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we proceeded to talk about other things. But there's my point. I'm tending to agree that with you that maybe they're trying to shape how we do it. Back to you.
Yeah. No, I would agree. And it, you know, some people may say I'm skeptical about that, but I think it goes. I think there are a couple of facets of the UFO phenomenon that are really deserve attention from Christians. Now, number one, you've got the intelligence community's involvement in it, and I think there's a very boring explanation for that, at least for part of their involvement, and that is simply that the government does things that it doesn't want the governments of other nations, like China and Russia, to find out about. You know, Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, I mean, they're developing aircraft there that are that have capabilities we would not want our enemies to know about. So, okay, that's well and good, and I think you can make a really good case for the Roswell UFO crash in 1947 and other well-known UFO incidents being examples where the government wanted to shape public perception of the incident to control what information got to Moscow and Beijing and other capitals around the world. Now, okay. the other aspect of this phenomenon is that the UFO phenomenon and especially the abduction phenomenon are the basis of a 21st century sci-fi religion. We start out the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, with some statistics that are, I think, really important to pay attention to. recent surveys show that American adults, and I think this was from a 2012 survey conducted by National Geographic, they were launching a new television show, UFO Chasers or something, showed that more than three-quarters of American adults believe that there's evidence that Earth is being visited by extraterrestrials, something like 77%. More than a third of American adults are convinced that ET is visiting us, 36%. Now, compare that with the research done by the Barna Group. The Barna Group is a reputable polling company that surveys American Christians to find out what we believe and how closely we live out what we say we believe.
Right.
And they found that only 10% of American adults have a biblical worldview. And the way they define a biblical worldview is this: six key points of Christian theology, Christian doctrine, which really should be Christianity 101. Did Jesus live a sinless life? Is Satan a literal entity and not just a concept or a force? Was Jesus born of a virgin? Can you get into heaven just by being good enough? You know, things like that that Christians should know as basic points of doctrine. And they defined a biblical worldview as holding all six of those points. So only 10% of American adults have a biblical worldview. And sadly, only I think 19% of people who call themselves Christians have a biblical worldview. But still, when you just look at this, these numbers side by side, 36% of Americans believe ET is visiting us. Only 10% have a biblical worldview. It means there are more people who believe in ET than believe in the God of the Bible. And that's why Josh and I wrote this book. We Christians need to realize that UFOs are not a fringe topic, because there are more people who believe in them than believe in God the way he has revealed
right.
himself to us through his word.
Right. You're absolutely right. You know, I found that myself also. You know, so many people, you know, it's just like you ask people, you say, well, you know, have you read the Bible? You know, most of the time they always, oh, yeah, I read the Bible, but most of the time they really haven't. And let alone have a biblical worldview, like you say. And, you know, having that, you look out at the world and everything you do in your life is based because of your biblical worldview. Well, we're about a minute away from break. So why don't you tell us about what's at, DerekGilbert.com? Is that what you want to advertise? And, we'll go to break.
Well, a couple of websites. That's my personal site where everything I do goes, for the book. I would recommend people go to officialdisclosure.com, officialdisclosure.com, and we've got a link there that will take people to the Skywatch TV store, where we've got a package deal with Josh's latest book, Unraveling the Multiverse, a couple of books by Dr. Michael Heiser, and some interviews that we conducted at the annual UFO Festival in Roswell last year that are jaw-dropping. All of that is a special package for $40. Altogether, if you were to buy the things separately, it'd be like $300 worth of stuff. So officialdisclosure.com is what I'd recommend for the book.
Okay. Well, when I put this in podcast later on, I will include that link. And for the record, people, you need to go over there and check them out. Skywatch does some great offers like this that you just can't get anywhere else. Okay, Derek, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, it has been about 3 weeks since we've been gone, and boy, it seems like forever. And you can sure tell it, because it really hurt our donations for the Wichita Mission Church. As you folks know, we don't sell anything anyway, Messiah's Branch doesn't sell anything, and so we rely on your kind donations to keep the Mission Church open, which we've been open for 18 years, helping the homeless and poor, and really anybody that walks in the door. So pray about supporting radio and supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Either one gets it done, because with radio, we warn you of what's going on, and also it helps bring in donations for the Mission Church so we can help people that are worse off than us, and we should always do that. So, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are a brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free. And again, donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're talking about a book called The Day the Earth Stands Still, Unmasking the Old Gods Behind ET, UFOs, and the Official Disclosure Movement. And that book is by Derek Gilbert and Josh Peck. And we have on with us Derek, at least if he's still there. Are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
I knew you would be, but, you know, that's always the question. You know, I've been doing radio since 2000, and I always have to ask, because I don't see the person, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like doing video. It's just different. And so, you know, it's just nothing, no big deal. Anyway, all right, so back to this. We can go anywhere you want with this, but still the curiosity is who would be behind this full disclosure movement, and why now?
Well, as we said it in the book, as we said in the subtitle to the book, really, The Old Gods. This is an alternate religion that really tries to address belief in UFOs, belief in aliens. It's something that fascinated me for a long time as a kid. I mean, I was a big fan, and still am, of science fiction. I love a good space opera. You know, I've been watching Doctor Who, the British science fiction program, since I was, you know, 10 years old. In fact, you know, in the evenings now, because I don't care much for what's coming out of Hollywood these days, I'll go back and I'll watch Doctor Who from the 70s, you know, the third Doctor and fourth Doctor, the Doctors I grew up with. But you know, I recognize now with a different set of eyes that even there's like a subtle programming involved, because, you know, what the UFO phenomenon and the existence of extraterrestrials is premised on Darwinian evolution. And, you know, that's a whole nother story that we didn't really get into in the book. But, you know, your worldview encompasses a lot of things that you don't even realize, and you don't even recognize that you've been programmed until you start seeing things through a proper, you know, with a proper perspective. But the idea that we've been visited by extraterrestrials for years and that they are now back to help mankind is a common theme that we've been hearing from contactees for more than 60 years. I mean, the modern UFO phenomenon really begins in 1947. Roswell was the big event, but there were a couple of events that preceded it. The Maury Island affair, which was probably a hoax. The sighting by Kenneth Arnold, a private pilot near Mount Rainier a couple of weeks before the Roswell event. But as early as the early 50s, there were people coming forward and saying, well, the aliens have been in contact with me, and they're here from Venus, or they're here from Jupiter, or they're here from Mars, they're here to help us, solve our problems with war and nuclear weapons and so forth. In fact, the book is a reference to the 1951 film, The Day the Earth Stands Still, the very famous line, Klaatu Barada Nikto. You know, Michael Rennie was the star in that film, the remade film, which you alluded to with oh, gosh, can't even think of it.
Was that Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking Neo, but that's the character he played in the Matrix films.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at the belief, this whole ancient aliens belief that, you know, Ezekiel saw a spacecraft, that the ancient Sumerians were visited by astronauts from other worlds who presented themselves as gods, you see that this belief system really didn't emerge until the 19th century, and it comes right out of the teachings of occultists like Helena Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, and reached our modern age, the 21st century, by way of the occult, or rather the horror fiction author, H.P. Lovecraft.
Right. You mentioned Aleister Crowley, or Crowley. Crowley doesn't matter. Anyway, he is, you know, he's responsible for Satanism, so to speak, modern day, is he not?
Well, he's, Satanism is a belief that goes back a long, long way. I mean, Sharon, my wife Sharon is writing a series of fiction that's set in the period just before Crowley was really active. And I've got a British friend, by the way, who says he probably pronounced it cruelly because he liked, you know, people to think that he was cruel. He called himself the Great 666. Whatever. I've heard Crowley rhymes with holy, but whatever. But back in the 18th century, you had guys like Benjamin Franklin as a member of the Hellfire Club, you know, libertines who were engaging in all kinds of, sexual practices that, that are not biblical, shall we say.
Right.
So it goes back a long time, but Crowley claimed, and this is the thing, Crowley claimed to hear from entities that were giving him information. He was channeling information that became the holy books of his religion that he called Thelema. And this is one of the things that I stumbled onto from a couple of different researchers who approached this topic from different perspectives. Peter Lavenda, who is has done a lot of research into the occult, and has practiced some of it too, if I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm.
An excellent researcher wrote a book a few years ago called The Dark Lord, in which he showed some of the strange parallels between the fiction of H.P. Lovecraft, who wrote the Cthulhu mythos, was very influential horror fiction author, probably the best horror fiction author of the 20th century. He wrote in the 20s and 30s, and he showed some very strange parallels between the work of Lovecraft and the writings of Aleister Crowley. Now, there's no evidence that the two men knew each other or were familiar with one another's work. And yet, Lavenda showed how in 1907, when Crowley was channeling some of the information that became the holy books of Thelema, between right around Halloween of 1907, he actually wrote down the word Cthulhu, which was very similar to the name of the most famous of the monsters created by H.P. Lovecraft, Cthulhu. Well, in 1926, when Lovecraft wrote the story, The Call of Cthulhu, the story for which he's best known, he placed the action in 1907 on Halloween. And it was on Halloween of 1907 in Lovecraft's story that the figurine of Cthulhu was found. Now, Cthulhu was this ancient, scaly, fish-like, tentacled creature that was lying sleeping in the ocean floor waiting for the stars to align so that the old gods that he served would return to Earth and reclaim the planet for their own purposes. Now, Lovecraft's personal secretary, Kenneth Grant, who became his successor, believed that Crowley and Lovecraft were channeling the same entity. In fact, Grant later said that he believed Crowley had misheard the word and had intended to write down Cthulhu instead of Cthulhu. And of course, Cthulhu is the name of this monster that Lovecraft created. So you've got the guy who took over and developed the magical system that Aleister Crowley had developed, the satanic magical system, who claimed that even though Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft, was an atheist, called himself a man of science, that he was actually inspired by the same supernatural source, the same spirit, if you will, that channeled the holy books of Aleister Crowley's satanic religion, Thelema.
Right.
Now, if that's true, you combine that with the work of another researcher by the name of Jason Colavito. Colavito is a skeptic, but he documents in a book, and unfortunately the name of the book is going to escape me at the moment, but he's written a book in which he shows very clearly how the writings of H.P. Lovecraft were filtered through authors in France by the name of Powells and Bergier, who were science fiction, they published a science fiction magazine in France in the 50s. Apparently they were exposed to Lovecraft because the U.S. government sent lots of Lovecraft stuff to American soldiers serving in France and Germany during World War II, just to give them something to take their minds off the war going on around them. The French fell in love with Lovecraft for some reason, translated his works into French, and were inspired by Lovecraft's stories, which usually involved megalithic architecture, pyramids and, old gods and mysterious cult-like rituals and the return of these ancient gods who had no love for humanity, if they even acknowledged our existence at all. They took his work and wrote a book in 1960 called Morning of the Magicians, and they dealt with a lot of the subjects that you'll see on cable channels today, like the History Channel, pyramids, being this home of ancient technology and megalithic structures being built by extraterrestrial races because modern engineers can't figure out how we built things with blocks of stone that large, that sort of
thing.
Well, that inspired a whole genre of pseudo-archaeology. It's like anything else. When somebody comes up with a new style of music or a movie or a television show finds a formula that works, suddenly a lot of people will try to copy it and cash in. Well, a fella working as a hotel manager in Switzerland in 1970 came up with a book that basically was inspired by Morning of the Magicians. In fact, it was so inspired by Morning of the Magicians that the authors of that book, Powells and Bergier, threatened to sue the guy who came out with this book in 1970. And that book, of course, was Chariots of the Gods, Eric von Daniken, which has become the best-selling book of archaeology. We'll put the word archaeology in air quotes. The best-selling work of archaeology in history, something like 60 million copies sold around the world in almost 50 years since it was published. And because of Chariots of the Gods, now we've got, then Zechariah Sitchin came out with his book, work claiming that the Anunnaki of the Sumerians were actually astronauts. And now, flash forward to 2017, 2018, and Ancient Aliens is in its 12th season on the History Channel. And as I said, it's become an alternate religion. People are turning to it to answer the questions that we Christians should be answering from the Bible. Where do we come from? Why are we here, and what happens to us when we die?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. You know, the slow brainwashing that Hollywood has been doing for so many years, like you say, you don't even realize it until, something lifts the veil from your eyes and you look. This book, after you read it, then you go back and look and can see that clearly. But let's go with this. With the world, first off, with other biblical things, even like, the Antichrist coming forward, it looks like we're primed for that. Everything looks like it's all converging and coming together. So wouldn't it be the natural order of things for this thing to come forward soon? You know what I'm saying?
Well, absolutely. It's a deception that it's a spin on the old lie from the Bible. In fact, the oldest lie in the book, ye shall be as gods.
Right.
It's a much more comfortable religion for most people when you look at the idea and set it side by side with the promise that we Christians have. I mean, we're told that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and thanks to his blood, his shed blood, we are redeemed from our sins. But he's given us some pretty clear standards. This is what God considers moral. This is what God considers immoral.
Right.
Now, if you look at the gospel, the extraterrestrial gospel, those gods, and this is the lie that's being sold to us, were just astronauts from other worlds. But now that our technology has advanced to a certain point and humanity has advanced to a certain level, we too understand that the gods of the ancient world were nothing more than travelers from other worlds, and they've got better technology. So if we get better technology, then we can be just like them. We can be as gods. And the best part of all is that they don't put any moral restraints. They don't give us any moral guidelines. We can do whatever we want. Well, that's consistent with Aleister Crowley's religion. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
Okay, let's go with this. Sitting here thinking about it, this spans, this has no borders, because of the media that we have, and it hasn't been portrayed as a religion, so to speak. You see where I'm going? With it not being portrayed as religion, so much of the world believes in these. So coming forward, wouldn't that be a way to, A, upsert most religions in the world, and, two, create a whole new one that'd be easily accepted. Back to you.
Well, absolutely, and that's another reason that Josh and I wanted to write the book. And it's something that Tom Horn, who published the book, Defender Publishing, wanted to make sure that we addressed. There's a fear, I think, among some Christians that if an alien, an actual alien, and I will say for the record that neither Josh nor I believe that there is any credible evidence whatsoever that we have ever been visited by an extraterrestrial. Period.
Right.
Now, that's not to say we don't believe, that's not to say that we don't think nothing is, that we don't think anything is happening. The phenomenon is real. It's just not what UFO true believers think it is. And that gets back to what I said earlier about the contiguous universe. I think UFO believers recognize now that we know enough about the nature of the solar system that we understand getting from one star system to another is really, really difficult, if not scientifically impossible. So now they're spinning it as, okay, well, the contiguous unit, they're coming from other dimensions.
Right.
Okay, well, now you're starting to talk our language as Christians, because we believe that Earth has been visited by extra-dimensional entities since, oh, the creation. So as Christians, we should be able to address this without any intimidation. But it gets down to if an actual extraterrestrial, and I'm sorry, I rabbit trailed on you there, Pastor. If an actual extraterrestrial, if Klaatu lands on the White House lawn with his robot Gort, we Christians, right, if we understand the Bible correctly, should not affect our faith at all. When we look at the book of Genesis and God says, let us create man in our image, in our likeness, let us create. We get hung up, English speakers, on those words, likeness and image, because it seems to imply that means God is a biped about 5.5 to 6 feet tall. That's not what that means at all. The Hebrew is more nuanced than that. What it means is we are God's image bearers. We are his moral agents on planet Earth. We have dominion, created mankind to have dominion over the earth. And if you read that whole passage in context, you see that's exactly what it says. We've got dominion over the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish in the sea. God created mankind to have that kind of dominion over earth as his representatives, his moral agents, the same kind of dominion that he holds over all of creation. So yes. If Klaatu lands on the White House lawn, that does not change our status. This is a status that each one of us has. You, me, an infant, the elderly. It does not change regardless of your education, your gifts, your handicaps. I mean, people who have suffered a major head trauma, they still are created in the image of God. They are still God's image bearer on this world. Now, again, I personally don't believe that there is any life out there. I think that's a big enough thing that if God had created life on other worlds, and there was a chance that we would ever come into contact with them someday, I think God would have told us about that. But even if I'm wrong about that, if I'm wrong about that, and someday an actual ET does land in front of the UN and introduce himself, as a Christian, it's like, okay, well, this is cool. I am still, my wife is still, my daughter, my friend, we are all still created in God's image. The fact that this guy is from Zeta Reticuli does not change that at all, does not affect my faith in Jesus Christ one iota.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And that is so much. But see, we're living in a generation, and maybe you'll agree with me, this generation is so prime for all this because, well, church attendance has fallen off, and the people that do even are still going to church, and I'm not slamming any particular church, but the larger the church, it's usually the case. They're falling away from the biblical worldview. And they're willing to adjust their views and so on and so forth. And so we are so primed for this. And look, it can't just happen all of a sudden. People say, well, the Antichrist and everything is going to happen. Well, no, they had to be priming us in some manner for that for many, many years, would they not?
Oh, absolutely. Our friend Dr. Michael Heiser, who is a respected ufologist as well as a renowned biblical scholar, calls science fiction, you know, Hollywood science fiction, the, what is it called? Televangelism for the ET gospel. And I think he's right. In fact, the guy who directs the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, Seth Shostak, says that Hollywood has done an excellent job of preparing humanity for the arrival of extraterrestrials.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. Hollywood has prepared the basis here, even to the point of, I can't think of the name of the show, but there was one like where they went and found out that mankind came from a seed from another planet and all that. And, you know, they infect it, and it goes back to that. Just like Darwinism does, it destroys the belief in the creator. If you destroy the belief that there was an almighty that created everything from the beginning, then the rest of the Bible would be irrelevant, because if you couldn't believe the first of the book, how could you believe the end of the book back to you?
Right. Right. And sadly, you know, I would say that the UFO phenomenon is the UFO true believers are willing to give the accounts of contactees and abductees a pass. They're not subjecting their accounts to the same type of critical thinking that they want to apply to the Bible. And we Christians should not be afraid of that kind of critical thinking. Again, there's plenty of evidence for the truth claims of Christianity. And I think we as Christians need to be better educated on apologetics, the reasons why we believe what we believe. But let me say this, the abduction phenomenon. Again, I want to be clear that neither Josh nor I believes that abductees or contactees are that all of them are making up their stories. It is clear that some of the accounts of witnesses of mysterious lights in the sky are true, cannot be explained by natural phenomena, and the same holds true with contactees and abductees. But when we start examining their experiences and the messages that they receive from these entities who are contacting them or abducting them, they are generally anti-Christian, which speaks to their motive. They generally don't have anything to say one way or the other about other religions, which again is an important bit of evidence. And the key bit of evidence from which has really been researched by our friend Joe Jordan, who is the co-founder and president of CE4 Research Group, that stands for Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind,
right.
That abductees, many of whom are, well, traumatized,
right.
Find that they can stop those encounters when they invoke the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if these abductions were taking place, if they were really entities from Zeta Reticuli, you know, calling on the name of Jesus Christ, you would think wouldn't have any real effect. But if you're talking about spiritual entities that are already subject to the authority of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God himself, then that has a little more, that makes a little more sense. The you know, it has some explanatory power. So again, the phenomenon is real. It is extra-dimensional, not extraterrestrial, and it is specifically spiritual and consistent with a Christian worldview.
Absolutely. I do agree with you. In fact, I was going to interrupt you there a minute ago and bring that up about pleading the blood of Yeshua or the blood of Jesus. That, because, you know, for years I've had different people on and we've talked about that. And, you know, amen, you're 100% right. I agree with you. It's interdimensional. It is not, you know, interplanetary or solar system or whatever. We're on the same page with this, and I just pray that people wake up and get the book. Folks, the book is The Day the Earth Stands Still. You need to really get it. Josh, could you please give your website one more time? Derek, not Josh, I'm sorry. Derek, please give your website one more time, and then I'm going to have to let you go.
That's all right. The website is officialdisclosure.com. That's officialdisclosure.com. Josh said to say hello. He would be here tonight, but he's helping his lovely wife put their children to bed, and that's got to be priority for a young dad.
Yeah, amen. I agree. I've been married 62, but I've been married 33 years. And when mom's happy, everybody's happy. All right, you be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. Folks, really, you need to get the book. And the people on this planet have never been such prime for it. Watch what you watch, because it while some of it's fun and games, okay. But it's a fantasy, and it will poison your brain. Remember, folks, though, there is only one God, and he is your father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. And pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. While donations really started to go up in December, amen, I think donations are going to be great this year. But the problem is then we've been off radio for 3 weeks. And so pray about supporting radio. I still need to pay airtime up. And Wichita Mission needs your help. So always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, our King Universe, Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them. And please give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.